Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The Massachusetts Board of Higher Education wants to increase oversight of small colleges. The proposal comes after 17 closures or mergers of small colleges over the past 5 years. Here's Chairman Chris Gabrielli.
The Mount Ida closure really got people's attention to the fact that the regulatory regimes in place by the federal government, the accreditors, the state government, weren't sufficiently proactive. And so students were harmed and families were harmed, and people reasonably asked, what did you know and what did you do about it?
The proposal would allow the board to screen private colleges every year to determine whether they can teach all students into the next academic year. If a college couldn't, it would be required to notify both accepted and current students. The state would still have to pass a law before these changes could be finalized. And earlier today, we spoke with David Chard. He's dean ad interim of Boston University Wheelock College of Education and Human Development. He was the president of Wheelock College before it merged with BU. And I began by asking him if he thinks more state oversight is needed.
Oh, that's a big and very complicated question. Is oversight necessary? Yes. Do schools have oversight already? I would say yes. They have both governing boards, administrations, accreditation agencies, and the Commission of Higher Education that's supposed to at least be knowledgeable of. But it all requires cooperation.
Right. Because if we look at what's happened recently here, particularly with, say, Mount Ida, where students felt that they were left in the lurch, which I believe is what prompted the State Board of Education, to higher education, to take this up, some folks might say, well, those notifications weren't enough. So
right.
We needed to do something.
Yeah, I think, and I understand the commission's sense of urgency about this, given the cases like Mount Ida. I think my hope is that we will see more instances like Wheelock and Hampshire College, who are more forthcoming with what's happening with their, and Newberry, they're perhaps more forthcoming what's happening with their campuses. My fear, of course, is that this kind of a state oversight will hasten closures. And in some cases, closure isn't necessary. There may be other tools that the college could use to could engage in order to save itself. And by the way, this has happened for decades, right, where colleges have faced uncertain financial situations and have found themselves selling real estate, changing their programming. But if the state is to announce who's in trouble annually, my fear is they will see even more precipitous drops in enrollment and likely will have to close.
Because you're essentially telling everyone, including your prospective customers, that things aren't so great.
That's right.
And
that's right.
So, but that's one of the conditions of what's before the board right now in terms of what colleges would have to do. They would have to notify students,
that's
current
right.
and prospective students, about the fact that they're considering ways to improve their financial outlook so they can stay viable, right?
Yeah, and I think the key here might be that college administrations need to find ways to communicate challenges and solutions to those challenges more transparently. I'm not saying that the way the commissioner's discussing addressing this is necessarily a bad way. I just think that an unintended consequence may favor large, heavily endowed institutions where smaller institutions that serve a very important purpose for certain kinds of students may be lost in this process. And maybe it's a necessity. I mean, I'm not certain that it has to be step number one. There may be other ways to go about this. Education, for example, of governing boards about what levers there are at their disposal for making decisions that don't necessarily have to call out, the potential failure of an institution in advance of that actually happening, because there may be other solutions.
What would be one of those levers or potential solutions, do you think?
Well, sale of property. as mm-hmm. one. I mean, many institutions in New England have very valuable property. Certainly we did at Wheelock. We put in place, even before we had made decisions about a merger, we had put in place the sale of two parcels of property in Brookline that would have made sure we had cash flow well into several years down the road so that we weren't desperate in making decisions about the future. I mean, another one is program changes, finding, you know, understanding the market, making program changes that could attract students, and many institutions have used that approach, looking at ways to expand their impact through online programming or shifting to international markets. And I should say also looking at ways to, create cuts that maybe aren't at the primary mission of the institution that would help to see another day. And I'll use Wheelock as an example. Two former presidents reached out to me after the announcement was made to merge with BU to tell me that they had been on the verge of merger in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. So these financial challenges for small colleges have been around for a very long time.
Hmm. I want to ask you about Michael Horn, who's a consultant who writes about the business model of higher ed. He told WBUR that this is the beginning of a bloodbath. We've seen, 17 closures or mergers of Massachusetts colleges in the past 5 years. And of course, there's this demographic cliff that everyone's talking about because births certainly slowed after a certain point in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So we don't have as many kids going into college. Right. They're not at college age. So what do you think? I mean, what do you think about smaller independent schools? Do they all have to merge? I mean, is that the only way out here?
I don't think merger is the answer for everyone because mm-hmm. some of these institutions are in, isolated sort of idyllic areas that they're going to have to come up with another solution, either serving different priorities to the community, not just having a single mission. There may be other ways to think about their serving the communities in which they're located. I do think the predictions are dire, and New England is one of those regions where the demographic shift has become so pronounced that it's likely to hit us harder. And also because we have a lot more small liberal arts institutions that, although they all have uniquenesses to them, they are not, by and large, all different from one another or distinct from one another. And I think for many people, Hampshire College's announcement in the recent weeks has probably been the most surprising because it has such a unique sort of approach to thinking about education for young people that I think many people felt places like Hampshire might be unique enough to sustain themselves mm-hmm. even during difficult financial times.
Might sort of have a niche market,
perhaps,
if you will,
yeah.
Right?
Perhaps.
Now it's saying it might do something similar to what you did and find
Correct.
A larger organization to merge with, and maybe it would serve that larger university community in a different way and just
right.
be a part of it. Is that, right. I mean, is that, do you think, something that many schools like Hampshire are going to have to do?
I think many will have to look for those kinds of opportunities if they can. I think a question for places like Hampshire is how important is it to be located in Western Massachusetts? Because potentially a partnership that allows them to sustain their mission won't allow them to stay where they're located.
We spoke with you before the Wheelock-BU merger
yeah.
was finalized, and you said a lot of times what you were thinking about was, were you fulfilling the mission of the founder of Wheelock by going through with this merger? Do you think that this is – that you're continuing to follow the mission of the founder of Wheelock, and how do you maintain that that identity when you're in a big institution?
That's right. So it's not, again, not an easy answer. I think, yes, we're striving to focus on the mission of Wheelock, which was a very simple to improve the lives of children and their families. We are now tucked into a much larger institution, being part of Boston University. And what we have are resources that BU has committed to this mission. And the short answer is yes, I think we're sticking with that mission. I think the longer answer is a lot of planning and work and I think, sort of future development of the new college are going to be required in order for us to fulfill that mission.
What should the role of the state board be here in overseeing these kinds of things? I know that's another big question, but, you know, and we sort of asked it in the beginning, but what do you think, you know, is, what should the role of the state be?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it should be an educational role. I think the board should take upon itself an opportunity to educate the public about families, about, and they do this, but I think even more so to help them understand the financial challenges that small colleges face, and for that matter, that large colleges and universities face. We're all tuition dependent, and right now the way we've structured our student loan system, our federal student loan system, puts kind of our economy is challenged by the, you know, this large debt load that students have. So it's not just small colleges. Small colleges, of course, are sort of at the front edge of this wave. But if people don't see the value proposition in higher education and the cost, they don't see the cost being worth the outcome, it's going to be a challenge for all of us. I think the state could play a role in educating the public about this. And I also think the state could play a role in educating the governing boards and administrators in small colleges and universities about what it is they should be looking at, the proportion of endowment to debt load and such, I think would be very important. Helping them understand potential risks that they may experience down the road. I also there was something in one of the articles I've read about the state potentially setting up a system of short-term loans for institutions that are of high risk to allow them to get through a certain period of time without jeopardizing student credits in terms of helping students make the transition if there is a closure or a merger. And, I mean, that may be something that the state could also offer small college. I mean, particularly in a place like Boston, this is the industry, right? This is what happens in large cities where there is a kind of a primary industry as they look for ways to solve these sort of the tumultuous periods in history to help the entire economy continue to benefit. I think that may be something the state needs to think about as well.
David Chard is Dean ad interim of Boston University's Wheelock College of Education and Human Development. He was president of Wheelock College before its merger with BU. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.